weeks, the internet has been bombarded with various challenges. We've seen different people challenging each other in different things. Some of the challenges have people videotaping themselves of accepting a challenge from a friend or giving a challenge to someone that they know. Some of the challenges have been amusing and entertaining, and some of them have been downright dangerous. The most popular challenge of the past couple of weeks, of course, has been what's called the Ice Bucket Challenge. The Ice Bucket Challenge, if you don't know, if you're one of the few people that don't know what that is the challenge that is being used to raise money to research Lou Gehrig's disease, or the ALS syndrome. And so this challenge is simply this, where people pledge to make a donation or pledge to take this bucket of ice water and have it dumped upon their heads and be able to withstand the cold of the ice water. And then they challenge their friends to do the same and donate to ALS research. That's simply what the challenge is. But millions of dollars have been raised for this research as a result of people doing this challenge. My brothers and sisters, the Ice Bucket Challenge and other challenges show us something. They show us that people are very good at following. They show us very good at following. The question is not whether or not we know how to follow. The question is really, do we know who to follow?
Amen.
These challenges and the rallies and things that we see all over the news, is they show us that people know how to follow. But the question is not, do we know how? The question is really, do we know who? The truth be told, every person in here, we are following someone or something. And hopefully, being in a church setting and hopefully being believers, we are following Christ. But it's interesting because in this particular passage of scripture that we read, we quickly discover that he is suggesting that not everybody is following the right person. Not everybody is following the master. Not everyone is following the Savior. Because he is talking to religious people when he's saying to them, I am the door. I am the door to the sheep. And they didn't even understand what he was talking about because they were not following him. Here's the context. Here's the scenario. Jesus, in the previous chapter, had just healed a blind man. And the blind man was healed, and he was so happy that he was healed, he began to praise people, praise God, and tell others about what God had done for him. And as a result, you would think that this blind man being healed, as a result of him praising God and shouting and being excited about that, as a result of that, you would think that the religious leaders would praise God with him. You know what the religious leaders did to this blind man that all of a sudden could see? They kicked him out of church. Y'all, I'm not playing. Go back and read it. You can get kicked out for believing in Jesus and praising God. That's what happened to the blind man. He got kicked out of the temple, if you will, because the religious leaders said, the person that you're giving praise to, the person that you're acknowledging as the one who healed you, we don't want to have anything to do with him. So even the religious leaders we see in chapter 9 were not following the Messiah. They didn't even want to follow him. But the blind man wanted to follow him because he had healed him. And so here in chapter 10, Jesus is addressing the religious leaders, those who had this issue, who decided to kick this man out. I mean, it's a tripped out thing when you get kicked out of church because of Christ. How in the world is that possible that you could get kicked out of church because of Christ? Because some of the religious leaders, even today, have a problem when you really begin to follow the leading of Jesus Christ. Because some religious leaders are not following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Some religious leaders are following the teachings of their pocketbook. Some religious leaders are following the teachings of their politics. And they are only in the positions that they are in to gain something for themselves. And Jesus is clearing some stuff up and said, listen, I'm going to tell you who the real person is. You should be following. So here it is. He says, I am the door. I am the door to the sheep. So he begins to use this illustration about sheep a sheepfold. He talks about a hireling. He talks about all these different things. And he talks about thieves and robbers. And what is it that Jesus is talking about in this particular text? Because he mentions, I am the door. He calls himself the door. The door. Brothers and sisters, there are so many of us that are following and opening up doors that we really shouldn't open. The truth about those challenges that we see on the internet, I told someone the other day, I said, it's interesting. Yes, $30-something million has been raised for ALS research from people dumping water on their heads. But I said, it's interesting. It will be interesting to see what doors this opens. Because other charities, of course, are going to look at this like, whoa. People dump water on their head and $30 million came in? What else can we get people to do? We've got to be careful what doors we open. So herein, I began to think about that old game show, Let's Make a Deal, when the game show host would have three doors presented before the contestant and say, which door do you want to open? And I want to suggest to you today that Jesus is saying, I am the door that you need to open. I am door number one. So what's behind door number one? I'm glad you asked. You asked that question in a good way and in a good time. This is what's behind door number one. Three things. First of all, what's behind door number one? Personal attention. Personal. Everybody say personal attention.
Personal attention.
Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the door to the sheepfold. He introduces himself and presents himself as the door to the sheepfold. But we have to understand something. What is he talking about with the sheepfold? The sheepfold was an enclosure that the shepherd would bring sheep into. It was an enclosure, an open-top enclosure that was built up with bricks and rocks that was about 10 feet high on each side. And the enclosure only had one opening. That was the door, if you will. And so this enclosure, this 10 feet tall wall, the shepherd would bring the sheep in, and that's where they would sleep at night, and that's where they would protect themselves from the wolves and all those things. The shepherd would bring them into the sheepfold. And so Jesus is saying, I am the door to the sheepfold. Let me see if I can explain this. Personal attention is this. The shepherd would usher the sheep into the sheepfold. What Jesus is mentioning, what Jesus is talking about, is that when you turn your life over to the Lord, you are ushered into the sheepfold of the family of God. The sheepfold, okay? Now watch this. When the shepherd ushers the sheep into the sheepfold, every sheep has to pass through the passage. And the shepherd knows every one of the sheep. And he knows them personally. And this is some deep stuff because the shepherd knows each sheep. He may have 100 sheep going into the sheepfold. But he knows each and every one of his sheep personally. And he even knows them by name. Now that may sound strange to us, but really just think about your dog. You know your dog. And your dog knows you. And you name your dog, and your dog has relationship with you, and your dog loves you, and you love your dog. The shepherd is the same way with his sheep. He nurses the sheep, he cuddles the sheep, all that kind of thing. The sheep know their shepherd. And so the shepherd ushers the sheep into the sheepfold, and he knows each of them by name. Jesus says this about the sheepfold and the shepherds. He says, he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. It's important for us to understand the sheep are not going to go into the sheepfold. The sheep are not going to go with just anyone. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing that you need to get from the first point, is that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And knowing the voice of the shepherd, the sheep don't just go with anybody. The sheep only go where the shepherd tells them to go. And here's the relative truth for us today, is that some of us are following voices that are not Christ. And here's the reason why. Because we really don't know the voice of Christ.
Right, right.
And so we're not following the voice of Christ because we really don't know his voice. That's why we say things like, I don't know when God is talking to me. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to. Because we have not tuned our frequency in to learning the voice of the shepherd. Because Jesus says that other thieves and robbers will try to get the sheep to come in the direction that they want them to go. But if you know the voice of Jesus, you ain't going to go just any old place. And so he's saying, I'm the door to the sheepfold. The sheep hear his voice and the sheep follow him. And my brothers and sisters, we're not going to do just anything that somebody tells us to do. Anybody's mama used to tell them, if somebody tell you to jump off a building, would you jump? Well, apparently mama should have been saying, if somebody tell you to dump a bucket of ice on you. Because I guess mama didn't say that, so everybody decided, I'm going to dump a bucket. How many people here dump the bucket of ice on that?
We do it today at 4:30.
Hey, man, let's see if you do it after this. All right. Amen. But listen,
I'll have a speech before I do.
We are following the voice of somebody. Whose voice are you following? Are you following the voice of someone you love because you want them to love you more? Are you following the voice of your job because it pays you? Are you following the voice of politics? Are you following the voice of family members that try to direct you, even though it's only for their benefit? Whose voice are you following? Why are you doing the things that you do? Why do you take the steps that you're taking? Are you following the voice of the shepherd? Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold. So we understand what the sheepfold. The sheepfold is where the shepherd brings the sheep. And there's some interesting things about the sheepfold. The sheepfold is the place where the sheep go to sleep. The sheep rest because they understand that they are in a protective place. So there's personal attention that comes from the shepherd when he's ushering the sheep into the sheepfold. The reason you're sitting here right now is because the shepherd gave you personal attention. The reason, how do I know he gave you personal attention? Because your alarm clock did not wake you up this morning. The shepherd nudged you. The shepherd told you to get up. Listen, I know that you get personal attention because it was not your fancy car, your nice rims, or whatever that got you down to this school, got you down to this place. It was the grace of God that allowed you to be able to travel down the highway and some fool didn't cross over and cut you off and get you hemmed up somewhere. It's because you have personal attention from the shepherd. That's the only reason we're sitting here right now. The only reason we're able to breathe right now. The only reason we're able to listen right now is because of personal attention from the shepherd. And what the shepherd would do is, as each sheep would come through, he would examine the sheep. So when you come into the sheepfold, don't be surprised that when you hear a word that strikes at your very existence, at what's going on in your life. Like, preacher, you've been peeping in my window, or something's been going on. What's going on? No, it's that the shepherd, Jesus, has examined your life, and he sends a word that speaks directly to what's going on in your life. Because he gives you personal attention. Personal attention. Second thing that he does, that the shepherd does, as the door, and as Jesus is saying, he says, I give you personal attention, but also protection from the enemy. Look at what it says in verse 1. It says, he who does not enter the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The illustration that Jesus is giving here is, it goes a lot deeper in him talking about Israel as the sheepfold, and that the Gentiles, which is the rest of us, basically are another flock that he has. And he's talking about that. He's helping them with all of that. But the very practical principle he wants them to get is that people who have come before me, he's saying false teachers, other people that come and try to teach you things other than what I'm teaching you about the kingdom of God, are nothing but thieves and robbers. Here's what that means to us, that we are part of his sheepfold. We are part of the family of God, but the enemy is trying to steal us away. How does he do it? The enemy tries to steal us away by teaching us things that are contrary to what the shepherd has taught us. And I began to think about that thing. I'm like, okay, if they're in the sheepfold, how does the enemy get to the sheep? And that's what it says right there. It says the enemy will climb. This is talking about, he's giving them an illustration that coyotes and wolves and different things like that would climb to the top of the sheepfold. And guess what they would do? They would wait till one of those silly sheep got close enough to the wall and would snatch them up and take them out the sheepfold. Come here, let me tell you something. How close are you to the wall of the sheepfold? Here's why the sheep start gravitating to the wall. They start wandering and getting curious. They start wondering what, you know, they're bored, they're tired, they're restless. And so they start gravitating towards the wall. And the wall, the closer they are to the wall, the closer they are to the clutches of the wolves. And the wolves can grab them and then tear them apart. Very powerful illustration when you begin to think about, that's how most of us in church, we can relate to something like that. Because the thing about it is that the enemy wants to try to pull you away from the people of God. And the closer or the further away from the people of God you get, the easier it is for the enemy to grab a hold of you and right, get you to right. do something you don't want to do.
Right.
But Jesus says, I am the door. Now here's where the powerful thing comes in. He says, I am the door. I told you that the sheepfold is 10-foot rock barrier that is enclosed, that encloses the sheep. It's a huge thing. It has pasture and things like that. There's certain things inside of the sheepfold that we'll talk about in a moment. But there's only one entrance, only one opening to the sheepfold. Mm-hmm. Only one opening. So Jesus says this. I am the door to the sheepfold. Wait a minute, there's an opening. I didn't say anything about that. There's a wooden door with a handle. So what is he talking about? That he is the door. Jesus is saying, he's helping them to understand something that they've seen with shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds. That the shepherd would bring the sheep in, and what he would do is because of the opening, because he didn't want wolves and coyotes and things like that to come through. Watch out here. He would lie down in front of the opening and sleep all night. Because any wolves that would try to come through would have to come through the shepherd in order to get to the sheep. But wait a minute, there's a great principle that's happening because Jesus said that I am the door because I am willing to lay down for my sheep. But this is powerful what he's saying because Jesus is really giving a reflection of things to come. Because the shepherd in these times would lie down, and sometimes they would find themselves getting devoured by the enemy. So when he says that I am the door, when he says I am willing to lay down in front of the sheepfold to protect the sheep, he is essentially saying I am willing to put my life on the line for the sheep. But the difference is that the shepherds that would get torn apart by wolves and things like that every now and then, Jesus said, even if I get torn apart, I'm going to rise up again. That's what he's saying in the text and helping them to understand. I am the door that protects you from the enemy. And why is that important for us to understand? Because there is nothing that comes our way that the shepherd don't already know about. And I think sometimes we forget that. Because what happens when the enemy gets into the sheepfold, the sheep panic. And that causes more disruption than anything. Because they panic and they wind up hurting themselves because they forget about the shepherd. Come on, y'all. And isn't that how we do?
Yep.
Is that the first sign of trouble? We panic instead of remembering the shepherd.
Right.
It's not any old kind of shepherd. It's not Shepherd David. It's not Shepherd Ben. It's not Shepherd Audrey. It's Shepherd Jesus. So that means that even if the enemy gets in, if the enemy gets into your life, if the enemy gets into the church, that doesn't mean that the shepherd has been devoured. Because the shepherd is Jesus. So why are we panicking when something goes wrong? Because sheep are simple. They just see what's in front of them. I'm panicking because I just see the enemy. Oh my God. But they forget about the shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the door. He's helping them. Verse 6 said, they didn't even understand what he was talking about. And he's right in front of them, the one who is saying, I am here to protect you. I am here to help you. I am here to do what nobody else could do. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And in fact, these are the same folks that kicked somebody out of church for thanking God for the shepherd. So they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And here's why they didn't get it. The reason they didn't get it is because of what's called the hireling. Sometimes if the shepherd would hire someone to watch over the sheep. Here's what Jesus said about the hireling. The hireling didn't care nothing about the sheep. The hireling would let the sheep, if he heard a wolf in there, he ain't going up in there to get that wolf out of there. I ain't going up in there. There's a wolf up in there. The hireling could care less about the sheep being torn apart by the enemy. The hireling would blame the sheep. And so Jesus is helping them to understand that the religious leaders were nothing more than being hirelings. In other words, some people in your life, this is the principle we can get from it. Some people in your life care nothing about your spiritual well-being. They care nothing about it. That's why when you get ravaged, they don't care nothing about your spiritual well-being. They just want you to get back on top so you can keep helping them. Somebody know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
They're not the shepherd. They're not the door. They don't care about you the way that Jesus cares about you. There's some folks in our life that will tell you all the right stuff. They'll say all the right thing, but they ain't willing to lay their life down for you.
Amen.
And I go, they're going to run. So what's behind that door? Personal attention. Protection from the enemy. The enemy, listen, here's the other thing about the enemy. The enemy has to sneak in. He has to sneak in. He can't just walk up in there and do whatever he wants to do. The enemy is always looking for the sheep to slip up. That's what it is. So can I help you with something, brothers and sisters? Stop going off on the devil for what he's doing in your life. Maybe what you should do is look at yourself. Because he only can present suggestions.
The opportunity and free will.
He can't make you do anything. But if he sees that you're getting close to the wall, you're giving him something to work with. And the closer you get to the world, and the further away you get away from God's flock, you're giving the enemy something to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Personal attention, protection from the enemy. Last thing, provision for our needs. Provision. He says in the text, he says that the sheep can go in and out for pasture. For pasture. And it's an interesting thing when he says what he's doing is saying that the shepherd will bring the sheep in to rest and to get themselves together for the night, for protection from the enemy, because if they were just wandering out in the field, then there would be a greater chance of the enemy being able to rip them apart. So bringing them in is different. That's what the church is, y'all. Listen, whenever somebody says, I don't have to go to church, I don't believe in organized religion, all this kind of, this is what Jesus is talking about. The reason it decreases your chances of being ravaged by the enemy. You can't think of any other reason to go to a church and to be around the saints of God. It's because it decreases the chances of you being ravaged by the enemy. How does it do that? Because you're around other believers. You're around like-minded people. And it decreases the chances of being ravaged by the enemy. But preacher, wait a minute, because all them hypocrites and stuff in church and all those folk and faith folk, da da da, not here a breakthrough, but all them folk that do this and do that. Listen, the sheep were in the sheepfold. Now I need to describe the sheepfold. The sheepfold was not pretty on the inside. It wasn't pretty. It was dirty. It was stinky. And it was full of dung. Because it was a bunch of sheep gathered together at night. Guess what they had to do? They didn't. Can I go to the right? No, right there. And so they were matted with dirt. They were dingy. They were nasty, this and that. And the shepherds still loved them. They were gathered in the sheepfold, stinking, dirty, nasty. And the shepherds still lay down and protected them. Good God, that's helping me. I mean, that's helping me to understand that God does not require you to come through the door cleaned up. That's some good news right there. And he'll take you with your, matter of fact, he knows you stink, you're dirty, you're this and that, that's fine. I understand that, but he inspects you to make sure that you haven't hurt yourself, make sure that the bugs aren't getting to you. He makes sure of certain things because he recognizes and understands that you are a sheep that is following the shepherd. Okay? So the sheepfold is not the most pleasant place. That's why we have to get past this idea that church is supposed to be perfect. Absolutely not. It is not supposed to be a perfect place. It is imperfect people that are coming together. We're worshiping a perfect God. But we are imperfect. There's going to be imperfections.
Yes. Amen.
Okay? But that does not excuse us from being here. Because when we are not in church, when we are not with other believers, we are like that little sheep that's wandered out of the sheepfold. And he's on his own. And the enemy is just watching and waiting for the moment to pounce. And in the sheepfold, there's provision. Now, as I described, the sheepfold is dirty, it's in, you know, all this stuff is dung filled and all. So what is the provision that is inside the sheepfold? While the sheep are inside the sheepfold, that's when the shepherd can tend to their wounds. If they've hurt themselves, if they're sick, if something's going on with them, he can take the time to tend to them and help them while they're in the sheepfold. Because while if they're out in the field, think about it, if they're out in the field and he's trying to do this, then he has to watch for the enemy. All these different things are going on at the same time. But in the sheepfold, he is able to tend to them because sometimes they will hurt themselves. And he could tend to them and anoint them with oil and help them with things. That's why we come to church. Because we want the Holy Spirit to tend to our wounds. Are y'all with me on this thing? That's why we come. We don't come so we can tell him what to do. We come so that he can do what he does. And that's tend to our wounds and help us and heal us and strengthen us. Why? Because what he's about to do. Sunday is the sheepfold. And when we leave out of here, the shepherd is leading us out into the pasture, into the fields. That's what he's explaining to them. That's what he does. So the provision inside is that he helps us. He heals us. He gets us back together. And then the shepherd leads the sheep out into the pasture. I'm almost done, y'all. He leads the sheep out into the pasture because they are going to find grass to graze on. They're going to find food. They're going to find water. And this is what he does. He leads them out early in the morning. Because there's usually in the Middle Eastern times, or days, or areas, it's so hot. And so he would lead them out when there was still dew on the grass. And so they could drink, so that they can be nourished. So what the Lord does with us, we come to church, we come to gather together as believers, and he heals us, he helps us, he gives us a word, he gives us encouragement, he gives us the things that we need. But we're only in the sheepfold for a short time. The journey is going to the pastures. That's what we're doing. That's why the psalmist David in Psalm 23 says, he leadeth me beside still waters. He talked about being on a journey with the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because the Lord is walking with us. And here's the thing. He leads us to places that are prosperous for us, that are beneficial to us. When you got the job that you got, don't think that it was just because God wanted to hook you up with some money. He was leading you to a place of pasture.
Amen.
Feed. When he led you to that relationship, the one that worked right, not the countless ones that didn't, because that was you. When he led you to the right one, he said, Pete, he's leading you from sheepfold to sheepfold. He leads you from place to place to help you, to help you get the nourishment that you need. And so we got to approach this thing differently when we're asking God to guide us, when we're asking God to give us something, this and that. Maybe the reason that God has not given you what you want is because you're trying to find nourishment in the wrong pasture.
Amen.
And it ain't going to work. It's not good for you. And the Lord said, I am the door. I'm the door to the sheep. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to protect you from the enemy. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to provide you with what you need. And I'm going to give you personal attention. I know each and every one of you. That's what the Lord says to us today. He knows each and every one of you. Derek, he knows you. Shantae, he knows you. He knows every single thing, every detail. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your tendencies. The shepherd would know that some sheep had a tendency to wander off. He knew it. The shepherd knew it. Oh, Betsy about to wander off. I see it in her eyes. Let me yank her back before she go off a cliff. Anybody ever been Betsy?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Let's tell the truth. Let's tell the truth. Shame the devil, as old folks say. I mean, I've been Betsy. I've been, you know, just okay. I'm wandering. And before you know it, there's the cliff. Boom. But thank God we have a shepherd. A shepherd. That has a rod and a staff. A rod to swack us every now and then. A staff to yank us up out of the ditch if he has to. That's what God. Amen. I'm done, y'all. The shepherd leads the sheep into the sheepfold, leads them out to pasture. And let me close with this little story. A speaker who was visiting the United States wanted to make a telephone call. He was a foreign diplomat. He entered a phone booth but found it to be different from those in his own country. It was beginning to get dark, so he had difficulty finding the number in the directory. And he noticed that there was a light in the ceiling, but he didn't know how to turn it on. As he tried again and again to find the number in the fading twilight, passersby noticed what was going on with him, noticed his struggle. And they said this to him, sir, if you want to turn the light on, you have to shut the door. To the visitor's amazement and satisfaction, when he closed the door, the booth was filled with light. And that story is just simply saying to us today, stop trying to open up doors that you shouldn't open. Right. Thank you, God. Jesus said, I am the door. Nobody else can claim to be a door. If somebody else say that they're a door, they're probably out of their mind. They're loony. Jesus said, I am the door.
Yes.
And when you get that in your mind and you shut everything else out, then watch how the light will come in. Recognize that he is the door. Let's stand up.